What you're about to hear was aired on Planet Philadelphia, environmental radio show on Germantown Community Radio, 92.9 FM, WGGTLP in Philadelphia, and on gtownradio.com. Today I'll be talking with Julie Slavitt and Ruth Seeley. Hi, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
We love talking.
We'll be talking about the Tacony-Frankford watershed, but before we get into that, I'd like you to introduce yourselves to the listeners, please. And I guess, Julie, if you could go first.
Sure. So I'm the executive director of the Tacony-Frankford Watershed Partnership. I have been here since the summer of 2011. I have an undergraduate work as an environmentalist about a million years ago before there were even environmental degrees, and had a career at all different levels of government, but came here after working for a congresswoman many years ago and really appreciated the opportunity to focus on what's really clearly something that we need to focus on: water, clean water, and watersheds. And I have really loved working here. It's been really terrific.
Okay, and Ruth?
I'm Ruth Seeley, and I got involved in Vernon Park when I retired. I was an early retiree with the financial crunch in 2009, and got brought in by a neighbor to come and do some weeding in the park. And within a very short period of time, TTF and various other stakeholder groups in Germantown were getting together, and we were seeing things about the city program, Green City Clean Waters. They sent out a video for the Germantown neighbors to see. And then after that, a group of stakeholders began meeting once a month in Vernon Park to see what we might participate in and whether we could have some program there. And it was decided that we would have one of the first rain gardens. So the water department and all the other powers that be, everybody got involved. And in 2011, the digging, the excavating, the finding out about water infiltration and everything else took place with a lot of volunteer help. And then it was opened by the mayor that fall. And since then, and at that point, it looked, like a bare, soil-covered, very boring place. Since then, it's become a mature rain garden with full-size trees, shrubs, perennials, and thriving insects, butterflies, small mammals, little snakes, and so on. On the way along, Friends of Vernon Park was able to kind of reorganize and reinvigorate the group around this and then do so much more and get involved in a lot of other events. So I was president for a while, and Angela Miles is president now. And so it mushroomed into a lot of other really green and good events.
So were you interested in groundwater resources before this?
I knew nothing about stormwater management before this, absolutely nothing. And I was fascinated. And also, you learn a lot about polluted water going into our waterways. And how can individuals do something about this? So I would go to meetings and started studying it and looking at the reports and so on. So that was one aspect of it. And then the next part, of course, is how do you educate everybody else? How can you talk at events that aren't necessarily focused on that about what people can do, and also what they might want to be starting to do with stormwater problems for their own homes and their own neighborhood and street. And part of that for me was, when we get school groups, is to help the next generation of trustees of our water and parks learn about it.
But I think I will back up a little bit. Julie, if you could talk about what the watershed is and how it affects us here in this area.
So I'm going to go back a little bit. So TTF stands for Tokenetakone-Frankford, and that's the name of our watershed. It's a 30 square mile urban watershed. The headwaters are in Cheltenham, Abington, Jenkintown, and the bottom half of the watershed is Philadelphia. And we all live in watersheds, even though people often do not think that they do, but we all do. And what a watershed is it's really sort of a bowl, a valley created by geology and the forces of Earth. And really sort of a big valley where the water, wherever the rain falls, there ends up in a common river. So, we're all here in the bigger Delaware River watershed. But here in Philadelphia, there are a number of watersheds, and we all sort of know their names, but we don't think of it very much, which are, the Tokenetakone-Frankford, the Pennypack, the Wissahickon, the Schuylkill. So we all live in those watersheds. And all of our watersheds in southeastern Pennsylvania are impaired. So, a lot of what we focus on and what the city of Philadelphia focuses on and our partners is managing what is become the biggest source of water pollution, which is runoff, which is basically because we paved a lot of places and our systems can't really handle all of that runoff. Tokenetakone comes from the same Lenape word, which means woods or hidden place, which is very beautiful. I don't know. In Montgomery County, they call it the Tokenie. When the creek gets into the city and out of Cheltenham into Philadelphia, it becomes the Tokenie. And then in Juniata Park, it becomes the Frankford. That's largely because of the way we re-engineered our creeks. So our focus is education, stewardship, restoration, and advocacy. And as Ruth was saying, right now we're doing a combination between education and encouraging stewardship. So we do those things all across our watershed, but it really depends on the opportunities that are provided sort of by the landscape and by people and institutions. And in Philadelphia, there are not a lot of creeks left to improve. So one of the challenges of education in a place like Germantown, and most of the city is that people can't see creeks anymore, because they're underground. And that's about as a really serious issue in Germantown because what it results in a lot of places is just flooding because water goes someplace. The real issue in Philadelphia of the runoff is that it results in combined sewage overflows going into our creeks and rivers. Outside the city, there are separate systems. They haven't combined the stormwater and the sewer system. The pipes don't connect before they go to a wastewater treatment plant. But here in the city, they do. And because there's so much runoff, combined sewage ends up in our creeks. So working with, as Ruth said, this was the first rain garden. This is the first project in the city that TTF did. And that sort of started our relationship with the Friends of Vernon Park and the rain garden at Vernon Park.
And you were talking about runoff, and I'm assuming this is when we have big storms. But is that true? I mean, is it runoff when we just have average rainstorms happening?
So much more infrastructure has been built since the sewers were first put down. I mean, Philadelphia was actually fairly well ahead of the game. And you can find old historic photographs of these massive diameter sewers that they put down. But of course, the city went on growing and growing and growing. So even under ordinary rainy conditions, sometimes it just doesn't drain well, and our drains get clogged up with litter and trash. So it isn't just that, they can't hold the water. So you sometimes see that happening, in a street where there's a huge pool of water. There's a drain there, but it's not working. So clearly, there was overflow basically almost every time it rained. I don't know, at one point it was. What is it, Julie? About 100 times a year when
Right.
that
And
occurs.
we think of the really big storms, but most of the time, these are just regular rains. Whenever it rains, those combined sewage overflows happen. It's more
Right.
noticeable to us if it's a big storm, but with any rain, the system really can't handle it.
Right. So you can do as much as you can to absorb a lot of that before it even gets into the sewer system. And I think that's where individuals' work can come in. Or if you've got particular bad spots, you can build underground tanks where you hold the water for a while and only release it slowly over time so that it's not going to overwhelm it. So if there's new development going on down, say, in Wayne Junction, I believe they had a mix of both infiltration plans and also a tank because water pours down. Germantown has this long, great hill, you know, but it has these little dips that then gather the water. So individuals, by not putting down another concrete driveway, by having a planter on the side of your house that takes the water off your roof, by having a rain barrel that you fill with the water off your roof and then water your own plants and garden from it. All these things can stop water actually going straight into the sewer. And anything that individuals can do about that is all helpful because it all adds up.
We have a lot of built environment here. It seems to me that we need a lot of green infrastructure to make things balance out.
You know, I think that's really the case. We did a lot of building. We thought that what we were doing with the way we piped creeks, you know, we did it for development, you know, people wanted to make money, obviously, and also for public health because we were using these creeks as sewers anyway, to a large extent. But we live in a very built-out place. And that's really one of the challenges, I think, is that we created a system, and it's really hard to change big systems once they're in the ground. You know, it's a lot of upheaval and disruption and money. You know, I think Green City Clean Waters is one way that we're looking at reducing the impact of all the paved surfaces, and it's a creative way that has a lot of other benefits. There are stakeholders working in Germantown to figure out what they're going to do about flooding, you know, which is, you know, more than runoff, dangerous and harder to manage. And I think we need to really look at places where we've developed and figure out how to either make them more resilient or to just, you know, not keep putting people there. And, you know, we don't have a lot of room here and people need housing, but everything new needs to be built up to a certain standard. And then we need to figure out how we're going to protect people who are living in places where they're going to flood. You know, a lot of Germantown is built above creeks. And then you look at Eastwick as well, you know, it's a floodplain. Just like people who built, you know, buildings on the shore. I mean, we built in a lot of places that were kind of foolish, especially with climate change. And I think we need to have both sort of a micro, like looking at people who own a home that can be put in harm's way and figuring out what they want to do. You know, what the reality is that the more flooding, you know, the value of their most important asset's going to get diminished anyway, and we want them to be safe. And maybe some of those places we look at, you know, individually and then in the big picture, like what can we do in this community to make people safer and make it greener?
This is one of the things I've noticed with environmental topics is there are so many complexities. And so you brought up zoning, you know, probably politics and probably, you
Maybe,
know.
yes. Definitely. We are in Philadelphia, right?
Right. And then also environmental justice, because probably some of the people who are living in areas that flood were priced out or redlined out of safer areas. I mean, there are tax credits, but a lot of people, that's of no use to them. But of doing refundable tax credits and also buyout programs for areas where people are in danger of flooding. And so are big things like that being talked about?
I mean, I think that in places like Eastwick, you know, there's a big conversation happening where all the stakeholders are coming in. Like you said, it's an environmental justice and human issue. And then it's a safety issue. And then it's a flood, you know, there's a lot of issues that are there. And like you said, it's really complicated. I mean, I think, you know, Philly politics and sometimes it feels like there's a real lack of vision. You know, I think these are also really opportunities to do stuff in a comprehensive way. And there are other, I always get in trouble when I say these things, but, you know, there are other cities that have figured out how to do some of these things in a comprehensive way. And we just, you know, we need to come at it not from the, no, we don't have money, no, this is too hard, to we could do something really unique here, you know, if we can, if we connect things, you know. So we talk about buying people out. Well, then let's talk about figuring out how to keep them in Germantown and, you know, rehab houses. I mean, I feel like we don't really have a big, big picture for this. One of the things I just happen to know about, because I, like I said, I worked for a congresswoman, is there's a federal thing called the BRAC process. When they close an army base, a military base, it gets BRAC'd. That's what it's called. I don't even remember what BRAC stands for. I could look it up. That requires this incredible stakeholder long process to figure out what the community wants to do with the space. It's really interesting. Well, that's what's happening in Horsham. But that's what also happened with the Navy Yard, I believe. And because there's this federal mandate of how you have to do the process, you know, they got to clean up, and they also really need to consider what stakeholders need. And it's, you know, I think looking at that potentially to really look at what we can do in these areas.
So I was wondering, are there stakeholder discussions like that going on with Rebuild Philadelphia or the Office of Sustainability or the regional planning and development agencies?
There is an effort to, in Germantown, to do planning around the flooding. You know, it's not just the water department's responsibility. You know, so many agencies are responsible for our city. And I know that's an attempt, just like in Eastwick, to bring stakeholders together. Right, Ruth?
Yeah, couple of things I'd like to add. One is that my experience, not just to do with water, but on other city things, is that our City Planning Commission has excellent staff and is really terrific, but that they are not always listened to. They are sometimes ignored, and councilmanic prerogative is often responsible for that. It just runs roughshod over some very good ideas and some good area-wide planning. And I find it distressing that we hire these people. They know what they're doing, and then these things are not listened to. So that's a sort of side beef about that. Rebuild, we've discovered, is sort of very piecemeal. A little bit here and a little bit there, and, you know, some good stuff, really good stuff. But it's sort of like a long list of small projects. I have joined a Germantown Flood Task Force, which has been encouraging a number of people to come up. It's trying to connect more homeowners and renters with what they can do with that, where the flooding is themselves, and to be more aware of not driving into floods, you know, at junctions, and getting more signage up. There's a sign on Harvey Street where I live now that says flood zone. It wasn't there like 3 years ago, and people come up to it and say, flood zone here? Even though we have a big hill? Yeah, flood zone. And I think there's a lot more hunger for more information collectively like that. So I think that's in its infancy, and it's growing. And I have faith that the folks who are trying to connect all of that, several different groups, that will grow, I hope, and be really helpful. Meanwhile, we were invited at one point, the people on that task force, to listen to a water department engineer who was looking not just at the small stuff we were doing, like the planters and the rain gardens, but a huge, big potential project through the Northwest that would start up with Chestnut Hill, come right down through Mount Airy and through all these spots like the bottom of Church Lane and through Germantown, But that is mammoth, and that has to be a big engineering and very expensive project. But it has to start being planned now, and I think that's what they're looking at. But that would need federal money. I mean, there's no way that, I mean, the city, the state, the feds, everybody would have to come in on that. So it was a wake-up call for me that because of the way the climate's changing, we have to do all of the above. We have to do everything in our own gardens and our own driveways and our own places where we live. And we also have to maybe agitate and lobby for these bigger projects, or they won't happen.
It sounds to me from what you're saying that people need to be involved and contact their legislators in one form or another. I have heard from people in the past that some folks find that kind of intimidating to do. Do you have suggestions for them?
You know, what we do, as I said, we focus on education, stewardship, restoration, and advocacy, because we believe what Ruth says, which is that individuals need to make a difference, and can do a lot, and can also be models for their neighbors and their families. But that, what's really important is collective action. I think that, here in corporate America, we've been convinced that, individuals have to do stuff all by themselves. And, it's each of us instead of all of us together, like as a community. There are really wonderful organizations that get out there and really organize people. And that is so important. It really matters who gets elected. We have elections coming up. People need to vote. I firmly believe that that's really critical. Not enough Americans vote. And we also need to tell elected officials what we want to see, what we want to have happen. And I'm going to, we have Clean Water Action, we have Penn Future, we have Penn Environment, we have Power, we have some really strong lobbying organizations and advocacy organizations that really know how to get people together and take them to Harrisburg and take them to DC and educate them about how to talk to elected officials. It's pretty easy. Members of their job, and if they don't care about this, then they shouldn't have that job. And that's really up to us. People have power to really make those changes. A good example, I think, is healthcare. I mean, people have been trying to take away the Affordable Care Act for years, and once people got it, they got active because they didn't want to give it up. It's that important. So I think that one of the things that's also exciting is, we have a new mayor, and one of her real focus areas is clean and green, and we are very excited about that. And we worked with a number of stakeholders that worked through the Pennsylvania Horticultural Society and Penn Future and Penn Environment on a campaign to really bring attention to the issues of, what it means to have a clean city, because it really is an environmental justice issue, an environmental issue, that green creates jobs and trees make it easier for people to breathe. And that campaign, which I'm trying to remember the name of, really got a lot of people involved, educated a lot of people, and put together a platform that really went before the candidates for mayor. Mayor Parker, I think, embraced that platform.
If people are intimidated by maybe getting into lobbying and so on, is join one of these groups. You will get really good information if you look at Parks Alliance or you look at Penn Environment, and you can join by being part of their lobbying plan.
How can people find out more?
So our website is ttfwatershed.org. A lot of information there. There's a lot of resources. There are videos.
Well, thank you so much for talking with me today.
If you want to know more about Planet Philadelphia, go to planetphiladelphia.com. You could also find out more about other G-Town Radio programming by going to gtownradio.com. I hope you will consider making a small monthly donation to help Planet Philadelphia continue presenting interviews on important underreported environmental topics and exploring their complexities and intersections. Thank you so much for your support.